Bella D'Angelo Show, a unique voice in conservative talk radio, can now be heard irradiating stupidity, teaching critical thinking, and encouraging confidence. So forget the Mickey Mouse madness and get back to the facts with your host, Bella D'Angelo.
Hello, hello, hello out there in radio land. This is Eric Olson. I'm co-hosting for Bella tonight. I've got a couple of guests to come on here real shortly. She apologizes once again for not making the show tonight. She's got the crud up there in the great state of Minnesota. She's listening in now, and I got reprimanded a little bit for last week because I was a little too dry giving the news to everybody in the conversation. So somehow tonight we'll try to put a little levity in this thing. But I've known Bella for years. We met over in the oil fields in North Dakota when she was working over there and I was drilling wells for people. Great lady. She works hard. She works harder than most people. She's a true patriot and a great lady for this show. She has a lot of charm and a lot of wisdom. And like we all talk, we're one show at a time changing America. We've got a lot of things to worry about in this country. And she makes sure she does her job over there in the blessed fields of Minnesota. It's a Democratic stronghold, and she's breaking it down every day. We appreciate what she does over there. I'm Eric Olson. As I mentioned, I'm in Billings, Montana. I'm the lead of a Tea Party here. We have 6,300 members on the email list, and I'm also president of Eagle Forum, a very conservative group. We're concerned about our country, our families, our national debt, a lot of issues we talk about all the time. And I think we'll just take her right into what was going on last night with the elections. We got Donald Trump running against Ted Cruz basically for the GOP, and we don't care much about the other side because the Republicans are going to prevail in this next election. I have Josh Grimillion on the other line, and I have Aaron Doty. Aaron Doty's been with the Michigan Air National Guard for 39 years. He's a great patriot. Josh is in charge of the students for Trump down there in Texas. He's way up to speed on what's going on and has a lot of input. We're going to appreciate him. But last night, of course, Trump won Arizona handily, but he didn't do good in Utah because it seems like the caucuses where the vote is controlled by the establishment Republicans. Cruz seems to do well in those caucuses, and Trump doesn't do well when you're limiting the vote. Trump is bringing in a lot of extra people, you know, like I think the statistics we talked about last week were 67% more people coming out to vote in these Republican caucuses than last time, and the Republicans are getting about 40% less people out to vote, so they're not getting the people out to vote. We think that's a great thing. But Josh, you want to give us a little update on what you're seeing down there with your position in Texas on what's going on with Trump?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, just speaking of the elections and the primaries going on, it's just amazing to see, you know, some of the states' primaries, their voting numbers are up, you know, 100%, 120%, 60%, 70%, kind of all over. I mean, just a lot more than, you know, the past elections in 2008 and 2012. But as we know, Trump picked up 58 delegates yesterday in Arizona, which puts him at 739 delegates. So he only needs 498 more to win the nomination. And with the primaries, there's 12 more primaries coming up, and he's predicted to win 9 out of the 12. And especially, I mean, all the big ones like California, which has a, you know, very large amount of delegates, as well as New York. And he only needs about 50-55% of the remaining delegates in order to get the nomination. So he's not
Do you think Mitt Romney had his fingers in this in Utah?
Well, I know Mitt Romney said he was coming out and, you know, supporting Cruz and getting people to vote for him and doing phone calls and all that stuff and robocalls. So I think Romney probably had somewhat of an impact on that, but I think Cruz had a pretty good chance at winning Utah, I think, from the polls before the primary in the first place. So,
you know, the thing with Romney, a lot of people don't remember what happened when he ran for president, and I do because I'm heavily involved with the Republicans here in Montana as the Tea Party leader. We're trying to change them to the right path and get them a destiny that works for America. But when we went to our convention when Romney was running, they came in with some rule changes at the convention, didn't tell anybody what was going on, and they looked at the crowd we had out there, which was a majority of Ron Paul, Tea Party, Libertarians, et cetera, and they got up on the stage and said, "You guys don't count. We passed a rule that says Romney's going to the convention. It's 100%. You're not going to have a vote, so that's the way it is." And, boy, there was a big discussion after that. And what happened, and it happened in a lot of states, was they all ran away, those people that they upset, and voted Libertarian for that last election, which cost the election of Romney, for one. But it cost Montana all our state houses, because we'd worked for a whole year to get our state controlled by the Republicans. And because they got everybody upset, we lost the entire state. We have a governor that's a terrible Democrat, and all the other state houses. So, we, you know, Mitt Spafy, a two-time loser, he's run twice, he's lost twice.
Yeah. Didn't he withdraw there at the end?
Who's that?
Mitt Romney. Didn't he withdraw at the end there? Didn't he just basically throw in the hat and say, "I'm done"?
Well, he kind of started the fight, you know, and then he just looked like he just gave up at the end and he wouldn't fight anymore.
He disappeared the last 3 weeks before the election.
Right. Everybody was speculating what happened. He just basically, like you said, he just threw the hat in and said, "Well, I'm done. I'm done working."
And that's the thing. Mitt Romney and the GOP establishment, more so, they're trying to do everything they can to stop Trump, you know, by possibly saying they're going to throw in an independent candidate. And several names have been thrown around. But, I mean, the thing is, Trump has millions of votes more than any of the other candidates. And clearly the people have spoken, and majority of them, you know, are saying the GOP needs to get behind Trump because he's the only one, you know, who can at this point mathematically win the nomination and most importantly beat Hillary in the general election in November.
No one's going to get a contested caucus out of this thing. Trump's going to have the votes. When we get to that day, he will have the votes. Then what are they going to do? That's really the question.
Yeah,
right.
I agree. I mean, I think he'll get the nomination before all the primaries are over. I think he'll get to 1237, you know, before June, but we'll see.
You know, I feel comfortable about that. They call them the Blue Dog Democrats, and as all the work I've done with the Tea Party, traveling around and giving speeches, there's a lot of Democrats out there that aren't happy with the status quo Democrat establishment, and so they're into our Tea Party, and a lot of them voting conservative, and that's what you're seeing, I think, with Trump. He's got the Blue Dogs headed his way because they're tired of that radical socialist, almost communist agenda their leaders are proposing.
And it's all over the United States. I mean, you see in the news how just, I think in Massachusetts, I want to say like over 45,000 Democrats went over to the Republican Party and voted for Trump. And I mean, it's just not in that state. It's all over the place. They're just, you know, dropping out of the Democratic Party and, you know, going and voting Republican, which is huge for Trump, especially.
Jump in here for a sec. Frank Day just came on the line. I just want to tell everybody Frank Day is a friend of ours from across the pond. We'll get him involved shortly, unless you got something to add to our current election information. But we're going to be getting into what's going on overseas here in a minute. If you want to hang tight, or if you hear something you want to jump in on, Frank, just go ahead and jump in. But Frank Day is definitely on the line.
Hello. Evening,
hey,
Aaron.
Bella.
Josh, how you doing?
Frank, I'm
doing good.
Bella's,
how are you? How are things in the
comments? Bella's sick tonight again, so it's just us boys talking shop here, so just bear with us. And
yeah, well, that's all I've got. No, I'm listening. I mean, I just called in early. I wouldn't due in till 4:15, but I called in early just to make sure I could get through, you know? Communication.
You know, you got and we'll just kind of bear with us for 15 minutes, and we'll probably get you in there on some what's going on over to across the pond, if you don't mind.
That'll do, mate. That was a deal.
All right. Well, enjoy the conversation. Till then, we'll get back to the Trumpisms and what we're doing here in America to try to get a real good candidate in our house so we can start making change happen for the better of all the people in this country and the rest of the world, if that matter goes.
Absolutely. When do you think Kasich's going to drop out, Eric?
Well, talk is today. He's not going to drop out. I think he's holding on to that last string of finances to see if he can make it to convention, and then some miracle is going to happen there, and he's going to become president of the United States.
Yeah.
Boy, isn't he on drugs.
Speaking of Kasich, at this point, Kasich only has 143 delegates, and he would need, you know, from now on, he'd have to win 120% of the delegates, which that's just impossible. And same with Cruz. Cruz would have to win 85% of the remaining delegates. And like I was saying, you know, Trump is at the point where he's predicted to win the next 9 out of 12 primaries, and there's just no way both of them will be able to get to that magic number of 1237.
You know, by the time you get through April, which is all the Northeast states, and I think New York's in there, he's going to be 50 votes away from the 1237, so it could be just nearly over when he heads back west.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, you have New York coming up, Maryland, Pennsylvania, Connecticut, West Virginia, and then California is another big one in New Jersey. So
Pennsylvania, yep. Rhode Island,
New York alone's going to put a big dent.
Oh, yeah. No, for sure.
But I think what Trump stirred up is that passion that we stirred up is the Tea Party in 2009 when Obama said he was going to change the country. Then we all kind of woke up a bit and said, we're still alive, so we've got all the people marching on the streets and this and that and getting the vote out and got a lot of good Republicans elected in the last two elections. So he's still working on that same passion that we have an issue in this country, and somebody needs to keep bringing it up, and he's definitely bringing it up.
Yeah, I think his speaking the truth that's doing it. He keeps saying what he's really feeling and what he's really thinking, and people are biting onto that and seeing something in him that they haven't seen forever, and that's the truth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he's bringing up topics, you know, and problems that are very relevant now and that just a lot of people don't want to talk about and... But he's standing up, you know, for those people that have kind of been staying quiet, but now they're all coming out and...
They're trying to mimic him,
you know,
now. They're trying to mimic what he said about immigration. They're trying to mimic everything all the things that he's brought up. They're trying to glom onto him and make him look like they were their ideas from the beginning or that they think in that direction.
Exactly. Yeah.
Hey, let me break in here for a minute, guys. I'm going to read these three advertisements, then we'll get talking a little bit more about this election and then maybe get into some of the issues that are going on in the rest of the world that we've heard in the last couple of days. But let me get through these ads real quick. I'm here to introduce Trust Vets. If you could choose between doing business with an American military veteran or a complete stranger, who would you choose? If you're like me, you would choose the veteran. What if every time you needed to hire a professional for work around your home or office, you could choose to do business with veterans? Friends, the time has come. Visit the online directory of veterans at trustvets.com to find painters, plumbers, dentists, bankers, and more. Whether you need your windows washed, your lawn mowed, or a handyman for a project, you can find verified American military veterans who would be proud to do the work for you. Excuse me. Many people want better for our veterans. Trust Vets is a simple way to make good on those intentions. You can help before hiring any local service. Visit Trust Vets. Excuse me. I think I'm getting the bella crud. TrustVets.com and join us in doing business with American military veterans. Trust Vets. They've definitely earned it. And moving right along, if you are looking for a straightforward conservative good old boy who can also rant about all the madness. But seriously, Bella endorses Aaron Patilla with North Star Insurance. Aaron will take care of all your insurance needs with small town service, and he will even save you some money. Tell Aaron Bella sent you. You can get Aaron at 952-856-6074. And that, again, is Aaron at 952-856-6074. 6074. Finally, you don't find any better guys in a family-like team than with Polar Builders. These guys are not the storm chasers. They are the GAF and Timberline certified Polar Builders. Upgrade your home needs after hail damage to roofing, siding, and windows. Call and ask for Bella at Polar Builders, 952-895-8100. Again, that is Polar Builders, Bella at 895-8100. All right, let's get back to discussion here. Lots going on in the world. Lots going on in America. I think when we were talking earlier, guys, we talked about a prophecy that Mr. Trump put out a while back, maybe a month or so, about the problems we're going to see in Europe. You want to follow that up, Josh?
I was going to ask Josh, as a lead into that one, what do you think about Obama's vacation down to Cuba to visit with Raul Castro, you know, with the family, when he took the family down there so they could watch the ball game?
I mean, I think it's a disgrace because he's down there. First of all, when you think when the president flies in on Air Force One, any other country, that, you know, the leaders are going to be there to greet him. And Castro, you know, none of them were even there to greet him or say hi to him or welcome him. And
right.
I mean, and then what happened with Brussels yesterday in the morning, the two bombs at the airport and the one at the subway station, he gets up there and gives a 51-second speech on, you know, what happened and how we need to stand with Belgium and Brussels and, I mean, all that. And
right.
Then
no
go
action.
To a baseball game with Castro rather than you know, getting back on the plane and flying back to Washington and going into the Situation Room and asking his staff, you know, in the room, get me a plan by the morning and let's take out ISIS.
Right. You know what? We need to get Frank Day's opinion on this. Frank, what do you got for us?
Frank, you there?
I wonder if he got chopped off.
Oh, they must have severed the line across the pond.
Could be.
Hey,
they never
back
know
on
these days.
Castro, guys, there was a couple of things that came out in that news right after the president arrived there, but one of them that was real obvious was most of the streets were deserted. And then there was talk about dissidents were arrested and beat up at times and just taken away from where these guys were going to be meeting. Is this Frank?
No.
Oh, it's okay. Let's see if Frank comes on. It's always good to get the perception from across the pond. But, you know, the first picture Obama took was with Che Guevara in the background on that major building behind him, which is kind of a tragic story to be taking pictures with that small guy.
Yeah, I got cut off.
Hey, hang in there. Hey, Frank, we're talking about Obama's trip to Cuba and meeting up with Castro down there. And just wanted to get your input on what you thought a leader of the free nation of America just decided to go to a ball game instead of coming home and finding out what's really going on across the pond in Belgium. What is your thoughts on that?
Well, it's the first I've heard of it, but it makes a change from the Gulf Coast, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yes. So what do you got on for us on what happened in Belgium?
What happened in Belgium is what's always been, what's been happening for a long time, and we'll continue until Britain and the rest of the European nations get shot at this EU criminal cartel. And that's
right.
We've got our hands tied. We've got our hands tied by our own government, our own police force, and we're just being mugged. And we're just being thrown to the crocodiles for appeasement. We've got to get out, and that's it. And Mr. Trump, he's got to be your best shot. He's the most genuine candidate I've ever heard.
Absolutely.
Basically.
Well,
I mean, he's...
Think Frank over here. We think Trump's the honest guy, the hardworking guy, the multi-billionaire that worked his way up that ladder and fought the government all the way, and he understands what the obstructionist government does here and why it's limiting our freedom. So we agree with you that he's got to be the candidate
when
choice
you think
for not
of
only
it.
America but the rest of the
when
world.
Yeah, when you think of it, he was doing all right. He was comfortable and safe as houses. He had no reason to stick his neck out. He doesn't need any more money. He doesn't need any more bloody connections. He's doing it for the right reasons, and there's no doubt about that.
You're absolutely right. He's doing it for his kids and his family because he wants to make a better United States and a better world for them. He wants to leave it better than what he had it when he took it over. That's his whole reason for being there. It's from the heart. There's no political agenda. There's no owing anybody money. There's none of that stuff involved. What's going on over in Great Britain? Are there areas over there that the bobbies, the police, are afraid to go into that are basically have become Muslim or Arabic?
Well, they have been afraid, and some they're still very discreet. I mean, for instance, if they want to search a mosque, they have to give the imam 24 hours notice. So, they always find a nice, tidy bedroom. And if they want to search for arms in a Muslim's house, they got to put booties on their dog's feet. It's ridiculous.
Really?
Trump
is talking of searching all the mosques. That's a big headline over here right now.
Well, you're going to get the same result as they did in France. There's 100 mosques they've done so far, and every one of them they found weapons-grade material.
Really?
Guns.
Wow.
Kalashnikovs. Every bloody one of them.
Yeah, I mean, we're
going to get the same in UK. The only reason they're not running amok in UK at the moment is because they're nicely settled in all our establishment. There's people in the Crown, there's Muslims in the Crown Prosecution Service, and they choose what is in the public interest to prosecute and who's to ignore. The judges are in their hands. They've got the judges blackmailed with probably compromising photographs of little children. So they're going to shout. No, this is ugly. It really is ugly. And there's no use running amok either, because there's no one person to shoot. If there was, I'd have done the bugger myself.
Yeah.
But
I understand, Frank, from talking with Mark Sutherland before from across the pond, that you have embedded politicians now that are believe the Sharia is the proper law, and because they're embedded in the government, that it makes it even harder to get them out of there.
Aren't they fighting with the government all the time to try and implement Sharia law over there right now? Isn't that ongoing? You guys are trying to fight and keep it from spreading?
I think we might have lost Frank again.
Yeah, I think you're correct. But due to the reading I've been doing, that is going on right now. They're trying to implement Sharia law in small little bits at a time over there, taking little bites so they can get the whole thing.
Well, they've got, I know from our previous British guy, he was talking about they actually run for positions in political power, and they've won a lot of places. And so they've got that power position where they're forcing Sharia and their beliefs on the people. You know, we're seeing it here. You've seen the stories, and I think we got a judge that's a Muslim that believes in Sharia law in this country now, and we've got this Common Core system brainwashing all our kids to pledge to Allah instead of God. They're practicing all this Sharia in the schools and public places, and that's how Islam takes over. Is this just like socialism? They do it.
Yep.
Slowly but methodically.
A little bite at a time. Yep, one bite at a time.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So it is scary, and we all need
Josh,
to wake up to it.
I'm sorry, Josh, what do you have from the colleges and from the kids, from the college kids? What do they have to say about all this? Do they have any views on this at all?
Regarding what happened in Brussels and everything?
well, not only Brussels, but the slow eating away of the your fabric of your nation by a different religion and a different belief system.
Yeah, see, where I'm from, it's very, I'm from like the Houston and Texas area, and so it's very, it's one of the most diverse cities in the United States. And,
right,
you know, I mean, you, it's amazing, you know, when I go to different cities, and even in just in Texas and in the U.S., it's just amazing how like less diverse some of the other places are. But Houston is so diverse. I mean, you see people of all religions and faiths, and but I mean, yeah, it's just, even where I live, you know, there's a lot of more Muslims, you know, moving here, and because they like the schools and everything, and just,
yeah,
you know, the areas here, and
yeah, I'm just outside of Detroit, in Dearborn.
yeah, I mean, over the past 10 years, you know, it's been amazing how much the culture in the Houston area has changed, and
yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
I'm not saying that, you know, they're all bad people, but I mean, you never know.
Yes, it is scary, and like I said, I've grown up here, and you know, just outside the Detroit area, and been here most of my life. And we have Dearborn, which is right around there. It used to be primarily a Polish neighborhood. For 40, 50 years, it was a Polish neighborhood. And now it has turned into basically a little Palestine, not Palestine, it's more, I don't know, Saudi Arabia. It's almost like Saudi Arabia. The same values, mm-hmm. same core values, the pushing of the Sharia law, all that.
Well, it's scary because, you know, we were one nation under God.
Yeah.
A lot of people still, and the majority still believe in, but because we're kind of the quiet majority, we kind of let this happen, but we don't, you know, we kind of turn your head and say, it's not really happening, but it is.
Yeah, that's where Trump
came from,
though.
And, you know, I've investigated the law both for Immigration and Refugee Act of 1980, mm-hmm. and it says right in the law that both those groups, when they do come into America, they have to assimilate, they have to speak
right.
English. They have to be productive within a short period of time. They have to. What's going on is costing us a fortune because they're not assimilating. They're collecting in their communities. They're living off of welfare in a lot of cases.
Mm-hmm.
I think the total bill for immigration and refugees now is pushing $500 billion a year. It costs us.
Yeah, it's absolutely insane. And the other thing too is, you know, Obama, he is doing absolutely nothing, you know, to stand up for Christians, you know, and other people, you know, they're in these other countries, and you see them, you know, getting their heads chopped off by ISIS, and, you know, just these horrible things, and he's doing absolutely nothing about it. And for Bernie and Hillary, they have no plans, you know, Bernie's totally against war, and which that's just going to let ISIS win. You know, as Trump was saying the other day, it's either the enemy disappears or something like that, and then either that or we have to beat them.
You may have to cut what's going on from Great Britain because the line's bad. That might be something that needs to happen.
Yeah. Hey, I'm going to get my ads on again, so just bear with me for a minute, and I'll get through these three ads, and then we'll talk some more about immigrants and Frank, yeah, let's try to keep him on for the next 15 minutes, and we'll get a little more input.
That's where that voice is coming from.
Oh, okay. All right. Anyway, back to the advertisements. I'm going to introduce Trust Vets again. If you could choose between doing business with an American military veteran or a complete stranger, who would you choose? If you're like me, you would choose the veteran. What if every time you needed to hire a professional for work around your home or office, you could choose to do business with veterans? Is that a good deal? Friends, the time has come. Visit the online directory of veterans@trustvets.com to find painters, plumbers, dentists, bankers, and more. Whether you need your windows washed, your lawn mowed, or a handyman for a project, you can find verified American military veterans who would be proud to do the work for you. Many people want better for our veterans. Trust Vets is a simple way to make good on those intentions. You can help before hiring any local service. Visit trustvets.com and join us in doing business with American military veterans. Trust Vets. They've earned it. Now, if you're looking for a straightforward, conservative, good old boy who can also paint with about all the madness, like our show usually is. But seriously, Bella endorses Aaron Padilla with North Star Insurance. Aaron will take care of all your insurance needs with small-town service, and he will even save you some money. Tell Aaron Bella sent you. Aaron can be reached at 952-856-6074, and that's 952-856-6074. Finally, you don't find any better guys in a family-like team than with Polar Builders. These guys are not the storm chasers. You know, I'm part Norwegian. I should be doing this in a Norwegian accent for Bella's benefit up there in Minnesota. But darn, I just don't get it. Anyway, they are GAF and Timberline certified. Polar Builders upgrades your home needs after hail damage to roofing, siding, and windows. Call and ask for Bella at Polar Builders, 952-895-8100. Again, that's 952-895-8100, and ask for Bella. All right. Moving right along. Talking
all right,
about...
let's talk about what really happened in Belgium. We haven't addressed that one at all.
Yeah, we just breezed over it, but what happened in Belgium... I woke up that morning, I don't know if it was a voice from God or what happened to me, but I woke up at 3 o'clock that morning, turned on the TV right when that thing hit, and it was the big news at an airport and subway station were bombed by Muslim terrorists. They now have confirmed they were Muslim. Islam's taken
full credit.
Responsibility
yep.
for
ISIS
it.
Took credit.
They got, I think the numbers today are still in the, 34 range killed and
yeah.
over 200
maimed.
Yeah,
I saw where 31 are killed and over 170 have been, or injured, and some in critical condition, so there may be, you know, even more deaths than that.
I call it
the coward's way of
doing things, you know. It's a cowardly way of doing your business. I think if you want to fight a war, let's all get toe-to-toe and end this mess.
Yeah, but unfortunately, we've had Paris. We've had Belgium. I mean, just looking at the layout, the next one can be Germany, Great Britain, or something back here in the U.S. And I believe we're going to see a lot more. I don't. Trump has said it, and he was absolutely 100% nail on the head. He predicted Belgium, and you know what? He also predicted there's going to be more hits. And I am right with him. I think it's going to happen, guys. What do you think?
Yeah, I remember him.
Well, you don't have to be clairvoyant. You can see it coming. I mean, there's no way of denying it.
Yeah, you're absolutely correct.
On Fox News on January 26th, I remember when they were interviewing Trump, he was saying, you know, with Paris and he said possibly Belgium and all these other European countries, you know, Paris wasn't going to be the last one. And like we were saying, he, you know, predicted that the Brussels attack was going to happen. And, you know, ISIS just released a statement today. I saw it on the headlines of Google News, and it said that they've sent 400 more fighters into attack Europe. And it's like they could be anywhere. They could come in as the refugees and, you know, be disguised, and you'd never know. And that's the scary part about letting...
Just one thing
we got to remember, Paris was the refugees. That was that's how they leaked out.
Yeah, there's one thing that's worth knowing. Oh, sorry.
Frank,
yeah, there's something that's worth noticing about this refugee. I mean, the left are calling them refugees, yeah?
Yes.
Okay.
The
left are calling them refugees. Jesus, what's happening?
I was watching Sean Hannity last night, and he was saying that, you know, it's almost like the Democrats are just willing to gamble the lives of Americans by letting, you know, these hundreds of thousands of refugees into the United States. And you know, that's just not an option because, I mean, I'm sure there's already some of these terrorists in the United States. And it's like if they just keep letting these refugees in, you know, more and more are going to come in. And, you know, who knows where they'll attack and what they'll do. I mean, watching the videos of, you know, after the bombs going off in the airport and seeing, you know, people on the ground and just pools of blood and everything, I mean, it really makes you think. It's like to the people who are, you know, willing to let these refugees in, and just to think about what, you know, some of the bad guys that they could be. I mean, it's like, why is this really what you want? Is it really worth gambling the lives of Americans by letting these refugees in?
Hillary and Bernie still believe that's the way to go.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's absolutely insane.
There's something worth knowing. There's something worth knowing about. God, there's something worth knowing about refugees and all those people.
Yep.
It might be the left that describe them as refugees, and the politicos describe them as immigrants, and the right describe them as invaders. But the bloody what really matters is the Muslims already in the country regard them as reinforcement, and that's what's worth bloody paying attention to. I'm still getting a lot of feedback, though. Can you hear me?
Yeah, you're cutting in a little bit, in and out, Frank.
Yeah, I'm on my mobile now, so I don't know. Can't be blaming Skype this time. Perhaps I should sign off and wish you well and listen in on the internet.
Catch you later, chaps. Thanks for being on, Frank.
See you, old chaps.
Thanks, Frank.
Cheerio.
Thanks, Frank.
All right. If Bella was on here, I know the first thing she'd be saying, and she always brings it up when you're talking about these migrants, is they're all roughly 25-year-old males. There's very few women.
Yes.
There's very few babies.
Exactly.
There's no grandparents.
That's what I was going to bring up. You know,
crowds.
A lot of the refugees coming over, you know, it's crazy to see. I mean, Trump and several people have pointed this out, that a lot of them aren't, you know, it's not women and children. It's these young men, and it's like, shouldn't they be over there, you know, fighting for their country and, you know, protecting their families, but instead they're coming over here.
Yes.
You know,
it's scary stuff.
The first thing I thought when I saw that tragedy at 3 o'clock in the morning the other day was all the oil they got over there in Syria that they're controlling and paying for all this terrorist action with.
Mm-hmm.
And Obama has made a statement recently that he doesn't want to bomb them because it's not an environmentally correct thing to do. But if you cut off their source of funds, which is huge funds, I think you'd see this thing start to end a lot quicker.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of the problems coming out of Saudi Arabia, too. It's never talked about, but the Saudis are not our friends.
Yeah. And, you know,
what we need to do, you know, what we need to do is bomb, you know, the areas where ISIS has their strongholds and where their oil is, because the oil is where they get all their money from, and if we keep bombing their oil, you know, over and over, and maybe even sending ground troops in if necessary to take the oil and, you know, get rid of ISIS and, you know, totally wipe them out, that's what needs to be done, because as long as they have their oil in the Middle East, that's what, I mean, they're making millions upon millions of dollars off of that, and that's what they, that's where all their funding comes from, and that's why, you know, they're not, we're not seeing them go away. It's just, ISIS isn't just going to disappear. We have to do something about it, and that is, you know, bombing their oil, then taking the oil, and, you know, like I said, sending ground troops in there if necessary, because that would, I believe it was Rudy Giuliani and some of the other guys, you know, that were in Fox News yesterday were talking about that and saying, you know, we may have to send ground troops in there if it's necessary at the time, because that's the only way, you know, you can truly see the certainty. I mean, drones and all that will do so much, but I mean, until you send people down there to get a good look, you know, inside a building, I mean, they could be hiding out wherever, and it's just, we have to eliminate ISIS completely.
Yeah.
We have to be smart and vigilant about it.
Right. Josh, there's another thing that people don't talk about and don't address. There's a thing called a kafeli. It's the capital of ISIS. It's what they consider to be a capital, and they have a caliph who's actually the leader of that ISIS brand. And if you could take him out, or you could take out his capital city, the Kafeli, ISIS will fade away, because they have to have that in order to be a nation, in order to believe in what they believe. But that has never been really addressed by anybody in the U.S., Obama for sure. He just ignores and pretends it's not there. But if you take out their little capital and you take out their leader, then guess what? It all fades away.
But you know, it came out months ago that caliphate you're talking about and the leader of it, the president of Turkey, is the guy that wants to have that charge. He wants to be the leader of the caliphate.
He wants to be the declared leader. If you take them out, then the whole thing collapses.
So now they're working a deal with him to take some of those Muslims back. So you wonder, you know, what's really going
on. You wonder what Obama's going to have to do with this, because, you know, he's been shielding them all along. It's kind of weird. The whole thing is just twisted.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I remember the red lines in the sand.
Yeah.
He kept moving the line in the sand, you know. Do it again, and I'll see if I want to do something about it.
Yeah, like over and over, though. Yesterday, when he was in Cuba, he didn't bring up really anything about how we need to defeat ISIS and what we need to do, you know, in order to get that done. He was just saying, oh, we need to stand with Brussels and we don't need to fear Islam and anything like that. I mean, it's just...
You know what I found strange about it? He didn't bring up more gun control would fix it. Sorry, I couldn't resist. I had to throw it out there.
Hey, but at least the State Department did classify what's going on in the Middle East as genocide, so maybe that's a little hope for what's going on in the future.
That didn't get much press, though, I thought it would have been. I would have thought that would have been all over the place. The genocide is what's really going on. Okay, what else did we not talk about? We talked about the contested caucus. And the way we don't believe it's going to get there, do we, guys? We think Trump's going to have way more than enough delegates by that point to run it across.
Yeah, I think it's best for America. The American voice is being heard, and it's being heard in elections loudly, and that's backing Trump. And if you take that away from
a lot of strong Republican Party members that have been in it forever, you know, they're saying that Trump gets the nomination, we're not going to support him and not vote. And just, I mean, I can't tell you how many people I've heard say that. Mm-hmm. And what they don't realize is that'll hand the election right to Hillary or, you know, whoever the Democratic nominee is. And that'd be a disaster for our country. And
I don't think it's going to happen. I think you're going to see all of a sudden all these people that said they would never get behind him, they're going to get quiet all of a sudden and they'll get behind him. That's
the only way we can win.
You know, it's really going to depend on, like, you know, if you go back to Goldwater days, because he was a grassroots movement and getting everybody energized against the establishment. He won the convention, and then the Republicans, that's when they invented polls. We've talked about this before, to use the polls, the biased polls in the media to get the Democrat elected. So they elected President Johnson because they figured he was better for the establishment than Goldwater was going to be. And that would be my worry if, say, Trump gets the nomination and he's out there. Boy, it's going to take us a lot of work to fight the negative press that the establishment's going to throw against him pushing for Hillary to win, because there's really no difference between the Democrat leadership and the establishment GOP leadership. They're all leaning way too far to the left.
But the difference between them, there's such a huge difference. Hillary and her Benghazi disaster, her email disaster, the outright lying that she throws, she's very vulnerable. And, Trump hasn't even started on her. He hasn't even thrown anything her away, and she is so vulnerable.
And she doesn't want to run against him. I mean, if it comes down to Trump and Hillary, she is going to rip her to shreds. She's just corrupt.
I believe that too, and I think what you see in the press is the negatives on Trump is all superficial stuff. You know,
exactly
comments he made,
and they have to dig for that.
Mean anything for the big picture, where Hillary's got the track record of Benghazi and other strong issues.
It's going to be, if when he takes her on, it's going to be, she's going to be pants on fire all of a sudden. It's going to be a disaster for her.
So, yeah, and that'd be our hope and prayer. We get Trump in there without an issue, and then we just all support him and work against the socialist establishment to get a real leader in this country.
Yeah, I agree.
My last ad here, and then we'll maybe talk about local issues, what's going on in Michigan, maybe in Texas, and a little bit in Montana, just to give it a little local flavor. And then we'll finish the show up here shortly. But let me get back into these ads real quick. Got to keep our sponsors happy. All right. Well, I'm here to introduce Trust Vets once again, if you're listening in. If you could choose between doing business with an American military veteran or a complete stranger, who would you choose? If you're like me, you would choose the veteran. What if every time you needed to hire a professional for work around your home or office, you could choose to do business with veterans? Friends, the time has come. Visit the online directory of veterans at trustvets.com to find painters, plumbers, dentists, bankers, and more. Whether you need your windows washed, your lawn mowed, or a handyman for a project, you can find verified American military veterans who would be proud to do the work for you. Many people want better for our veterans. Trust Vets is a simple way to make good on those intentions. You can help. Before hiring any local service, visit trustvets.com and join us in doing business with American military veterans. Trust Vets, they've definitely earned it. All right, if you're looking for a straightforward, conservative, good old boy who you can also rant with about all the madness, but seriously, Bella endorses Aaron Patilla with North Star Insurance. Aaron will take care of all your insurance needs with small-town service, and he will even save you some money. Tell Aaron Bella sent you. He can be called at 952-856-6074. And finally, last but not least, you don't find any better guys in a family-like team than with Polar Builders. These guys are not the storm chasers. They are GAF and Timberline certified. Polar Builders upgrade your home needs after hail damage to roofing, siding, and windows. Call and ask for Bella at Polar Builders, 952-895-8100. All right, back to the show, guys.
Okay. Anybody have any opinions about all the Hillary and Bernie supporters going to Trump's rallies and trying to disrupt him, tear him up?
Oh, my God. Don't get me started.
I think it's absolutely ridiculous because, I mean, here Trump is just practicing his First Amendment, you know, allowing people coming to his rallies, wanting to hear him. You know, some people have been... I've been to two of Trump's rallies, you know, in Fort Worth and then Dallas. But, I mean, it's just people will get there hours before and wait. And for those protesters to come in and disrupt it and, you know, threaten to cause a bunch of violence and stuff and having Trump end up, you know, canceling the event is just wrong because you don't see Trump supporters going into Bernie or Hillary rallies and doing this. You know, they, I mean, we don't do that. We don't go in there and disrupt the rallies.
No.
I mean, especially during the event. And then in Arizona,
we're too busy working
highways and stuff. It's just wrong.
Well, you know, here's how I look at it as a Tea Party guy. We go out with passion on our own time and our own expense and rally for America and the Constitution and all the other causes we believe in. And we've gotten protesters that rally against us across the street that are being paid by our Democratic senator with taxpayer funds.
Yeah.
They don't have the passion that we have and that the rest of America should have. They're just there doing a job basically.
They're paid.
They didn't pay for it.
And a lot of them, a lot of them are interviewed, and they, like Fox News and the other stations, ask them, "Well, why are you out here?" And half of them can't even answer, you know, why they're out there. And you know, you see a lot of the signs, and a lot of them are professionally printed, like for MoveOn.org and all these other just nonsense. Absolutely.
And the Black Lives Matter movement, that don't even get me started on that one. That one just drives me out of my mind. Only Black Lives Matter. Well, what about all the white lives that have been killed and taken? What about all the black people, black-on-black violence where they're killing each other? They don't belong at a Trump rally. What are they doing there? It's just absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah.
And then they blow it all out of proportion. If you get 10,000 people in a stadium and they're all pro-Trump supporters for the most part, and then you got a couple of ignorant paid protesters come in there with their boldness and start stirring a little pot up, but you know, tempers flare and you have accidents or minor attacks, but they sure blow it out of proportion to the whole picture.
And I saw comments, you know, from some of the police, you know, that have been at the rallies and actually taken out some of the protesters, and they were saying that, you know, the people that go in there and protest are some of the, you know, they've never seen people so violent and just so, you know, obnoxious to come in there and do
something. They're paid to
like
do
that.
That's why. Yeah,
exactly.
Absolutely true. And a lot of people don't realize Trump is paying for those rallies out of his own pocket. This isn't organized by the Republican Party. This is Trump paying for these rallies. So basically, he's getting disrupted when he's paying to be able to speak. It's crazy.
Yeah.
But these people, the pink ladies, you know, these radical activists from the left, they go everywhere and upset anything they can, anytime they can.
Yep. And all they need is a sponsor to give them money to pay gas money to go to them. The rest of the people, like us, we're too busy going and working for our jobs to take the time to go protest somebody else's rally. That's just ridiculous.
Yeah, we have to pay the bills, right?
Yeah, exactly. We're the working people.
Josh, I'm going to ask you a question. But on the youngster level, you know, the millennials that you're in, I know I got a son that follows this more than I do, the politics, and he's a avid Trump fan, but where do you think the young people really are? Do they understand what's going on? Do they know Trump's the best thing for America, or are they listening to the rhetoric on the left? What do you think they really think?
I get a lot of conversations strike up at school and especially on social media, on Twitter, and, you know, a lot of them, they just read what the media says about Trump, and, you know, especially like the CNN, I mean, all these liberal stations and just people that don't like Trump reporting on him. You know, a lot of them portray him as this horrible, you know, nasty person that's just trying to divide our country and everything. And
misinformation.
That's all they hear, and that's all they're fed. And it's just they don't know the full story of him and what he stands for, and, you know, how he wants to unify our country and do everything like that. I mean, there are a lot of students my age, you know, they love the idea of free college, and that's why they support Bernie. And anyone that understands economics know that Bernie Sanders, none of his plans would ever work, and never happen.
No. The government would collapse on its own weight because you'd have to create many more agencies to administer his freaking insane programs. Can you imagine the weight that would put on the taxation system? We'd go from about 45% taxation to 80%.
Yeah.
Well, get back to FDR days, when taxes on business was 90%.
Yeah.
Wonder why
it won't work. And under today's economy, it would just cause a collapse. We'd go right into a recession if Bernie got elected.
I think we're in a recession. I think we've been in a recession since Obama started.
I agree.
Yeah,
I agree. But he's hitting it well with the job numbers that he keeps throwing up there.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm an oil guy, and I'm an independent oil guy, and I've worked through all four downturns now, major crashes in our business caused by foreign influence and our government influence. But, you know, if you look at the numbers, I'm going to go give you a little information on oil towards the end of this show. But we lost, as soon as Obama got in there that first year, 5 million barrels a day of consumption in this country. Mm-hmm. And the answer to that is the economy crashed, and people quit using oil. And that means you lost a lot of jobs. I figure 30% of people became unemployed in a hurry because that's the drop we saw in consumption. Well, we've kind of crawled out of that a bit, but what people don't know is in that same period of time now since he's been president, we've started exporting almost 5 million barrels a day of refined product that we used to use for our economy here. So our economy, if you just look at oil, is down major time,
yeah,
and it hasn't recovered.
It's become flat.
And, yeah. People,
you know, Eric,
we're
coming to the end here. We only got a minute and a half, 2 minutes left. Is there anything else we need to get in?
Go ahead.
The biggest thing, you know, with Trump is that his main points, you know, are jobs. Our jobs are going overseas. You know, I mean, we're losing millions upon millions of jobs. You know, and there have been companies are moving to other countries, and he wants to bring jobs back because so many Americans, you know, are out of jobs, and that's what drives our economy is our jobs, and we're losing them, and we can't expect to grow at all.
And the average wage in a lot of America is $10 an hour, and that's not a living wage, so we've lost all that because we shipped 55,000 factories overseas and lost the millions of jobs for that. But why don't we all make a quick comment on what we need to do to follow this election, and then we'll close this show out.
All right.
Josh, you want to start?
Yeah. Like I was saying about the jobs, and then our border needs to be secured. You know, we can't keep letting these refugees keep coming and coming over our border. I mean, even the southern border, wherever they're coming from, we cannot let these refugees in because we don't know where they're coming from, who they are, what their plans are. And I mean, it needs to stop. And then, most importantly, ISIS needs to be taken out, and we need to be smart and vigilant about it. And it needs to be done.
In other words, vet them and maybe pause our refugee immigrant program to bring the best of the best in. And it is a fiscal issue, too, like we talked earlier in the show. What about you, Aaron? What are your what's your thoughts right now?
Real quick, I just want to get in a shout-out to Bella. I'm sure she's at least listening to us. We miss you, and we need you back here in the show. We need your interjections, your humor. Go, girl. We hope to see you and hear from you next week.
I know I heard a couple of chuckles, so maybe she won't reprimand us too bad this time, but maybe she'll be back to her perkiness next week, and we'll take this show back over. We appreciate all the time we've had to talk to the public, and Aaron and Josh, we appreciate you being on the show. Keep the fight up down there in Texas with the Students for Trump, and Aaron, we appreciate your service, 39 years with the Michigan Air National Guard, and I'll just take it from here and close this show out, but we want to thank America for being great, and we want to make it great again. We are a God-fearing country. We need to remember that. God is the ultimate power. We need to appreciate that and worship him when we can. We need to make America strong. We need to get out and vote. You know, we've had lackluster voting in the last couple of dozen years. We can win this election and get Trump elected and a lot more good Republicans elected, too, and on the state level, local levels. If you don't like the system, run for something. You can change it. It doesn't take that many people to make change happen. But we appreciate everybody that's listening in. We'll catch you next Wednesday night at 7 o'clock Central Time. And I'll just let this show go. God bless America. God bless Bella D'Angelo, my guest. Frank Day overseas fighting the fight in England. We know it's tough over there. And we'll catch up with all you guys next week. Thanks a lot.